Good morning. It's Tuesday morning. It's time for the doctor's point of view. This is Debbie Boskey, and joining me this morning is Dr. Matthew Minahan, oncologist. Thank you so much for joining me here this morning, Dr. Minahan.
Oh, thank you for having me, Debbie, especially in Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Exactly. It's one of the reasons why I was so ecstatic when I heard you said yes, you would be happy to come and talk once again.
Always happy to talk to you.
Well, thank you, and likewise. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It has been for many, many years now, and it's something that's close and dear to my heart. So I'd like to ask you a few things here this morning. I know the most important thing is we can be advocates, and we can tell folks, you know, early detection is the best policy. Get your mammograms, get your screenings, and we go over it and over it, but there's not enough emphasis that we can put on that early detection.
That's right. And, you know, early detection is not as straightforward as it seems, but it's super important. And I think that what we clearly know is that women over the age of 50 definitely benefit from getting screening through mammograms, and sometimes they add in ultrasounds and things like that. If you are higher risk because you have a family history of breast cancer, then sometimes we start screening early. And there's some evidence that maybe women in their 40s even. So what I usually recommend is, in general, you can't cover everybody with one statement, but in general, a safe thing to do is at least get a baseline mammogram at age 40. And then by 50 years old, should be getting them at least once a year.
Okay, and that was my question, because I had a couple of, people ask, women, guys too, but women like to talk and try to help each other out.
Sure.
The sisterhood here. You get a mammogram, and so how rapidly do these tumors grow? I mean, you say you find one early, you start treatment or what have you, but say you have a negative one in the next year, I'm just trying to figure out how rapidly do these things appear.
Right. Right. And the reality is that there is a huge spectrum, and there are some women who I've taken care of here that had, 10 years of normal mammograms every single year, and then the next year they come in and they have this big tumor that just popped up seemingly overnight. Now, on the other hand, we've all, myself and my partners, have taken care of women who've known about a breast mass and have ignored it for years and years because they're taking care of their sick husband or their kids or whatever it is. And so some cancers can grow very, very slowly. All cancers are not equal. And so it's really hard to put it into one, kind of basket. But I would say that doing them annually is the standard and should catch most of them in enough time that we're able to get rid of them. And I will say, we take care of a fair amount of breast cancer here in our clinic, and, having incurable breast cancer, I would say, is by far the minority at the time of diagnosis. Most people have relatively early stage cancer and are able to go through curative intent treatment.
So now let's say someone did find one at a very, very early stage. Does that necessarily require surgery, or can that be done with radiation or chemo? Because a lot of folks say, when does chemo, take place? Before, during, or after? Or how does this, do you go through certain stages before you try the next stage?
Right, yeah. And in fact, one of the blessings of breast cancer is that we know so much about it. We're able, breast cancer isn't one thing. It's probably 20 different things. And we're able to put it into these little sub categories and really dial in the treatment to best help each woman or man. It does happen, woman or man that comes in with it. And so in general, everybody needs surgery. Unless you have incurable disease, surgery is the standard of care. That's what we call the definitive treatment. That's the thing that actually makes it go away. And then everything else, the radiation, the hormone therapies, the immunotherapies, the chemotherapies, those are all, one way to think about them is insurance policies. A lot of people ask, well, I've had surgery and the surgeon got everything, so why do I have to do everything else? And what I tell people is, we have our pathology reports, we have our physical exams, we have imaging studies like mammograms and CT scans, but they're only so good. And what hurts people in the future is these tiny little microscopic sites of disease that we can't see but are there and take a time to grow but then can come back. And so all those other things I mentioned, the radiation, et cetera, those are geared at killing off the things that we can't see at the time of diagnosis and trying to prevent the chances of it becoming a problem in the future. And depending on which of those subtypes of breast cancer you have and what stage it is, we may or may not recommend different combinations of those therapies.
Okay, so is there a more common type of breast cancer versus a not so common?
Absolutely. So the big four categories are based on these two different proteins that we look for. One of them is very familiar to most people, which is estrogen receptor. So estrogen is the female hormone that's involved in breast development and gestation and birth and lactation. And some breast cancers learn how to overexpress the receptors for that protein, estrogen, and they use it as a signal for growth. And so there's another protein called HER2, which most people haven't heard of, but is a similar kind of thing where the breast cancer can overexpress it and it becomes a signal for growth. And based on the combination of estrogen receptor and HER2, we can put it into four categories. Either both are overexpressed or, you know, one's over and the other isn't, or vice versa, or neither one of them. So it's kind of like a four quadrant kind of thing. And the one where you have estrogen receptor positive and HER2 negative is by far the most common. It's also the most well-behaved, the easiest to treat, and usually does not require chemotherapy.
So if you want one, you want that one. You have to have one.
If you got to have it, that's the one to have, absolutely.
Right. Well, it's amazing that we at least know that much about the breast cancer and the behavior and the pattern and how to treat it. So that's a positive note going forward. So now, is there signs and symptoms? I mean, do you really feel the breast mass, or is there the breast red, enlarged, inflamed, or is it silent like all other cancers?
Well, you know, it can be either. And so the whole point of the screening mammograms is to try to catch it when it's small enough that it hasn't caused problems. And one of the reasons cancers can sometimes stay silent is because, you know, depending on the size of the breast and where it's located, there's potentially a relatively large space that it can grow into before it causes damage. But some things you can be on the lookout that might indicate breast cancer would be, of course, the obvious one would be a lump or a mass in the breast. But it can be more subtle. It can be just a change in the breast size or the shape. You can have changes in the nipple. It can start to retract, meaning kind of invert or get thick. You can get dimpling of the skin or tenderness. You can get nipple discharge. Or sometimes it's just more of skin irritation and scaliness and swelling. And there, you know, to be clear, there's plenty of non-cancer reasons these things can happen. But when you see that happen, especially in one breast and not the other, it should start to ring some alarm bells and at least get you into your primary care doc to get checked out.
Absolutely. And that's what's first and foremost important, that we take charge and take notice of, you know, what's going on with our bodies or,
absolutely,
or what have you. And so then once they're diagnosed, they're referred to an oncologist as yourself and your colleagues?
Yeah, generally, breast cancer is what I call a multidisciplinary cancer. You really need multiple different doctors. You need a surgeon. You need a radiation oncologist a lot of the time. You need a medical oncologist like myself, even if you don't need chemotherapy. Sometimes people want plastic surgery as well. You know, body image is very important to mental health, and so that's a very valid thing to want to explore for some women. Some women couldn't care less, but others do, and either way is fine. And so I do think it's important anytime you get a cancer diagnosis to at least meet an oncologist like myself to kind of hear the big picture plan. And get it set into action. But it usually always requires surgery, and then, you know, the other therapies really depend on a lot of the other tests and which subtype you have and that kind of thing.
So, and then generally speaking, we can gladly, I guess, say that we've had so many tremendous outcomes or happy outcomes where it has been defeated or it has been taken care of, which is what we all are looking forward to.
Yeah, we've been really successful in the last, you know, 20 years, really taking chunks out of breast cancer and being able to come out on top. And I, like you said before, you can't overemphasize the importance of screening. I think most of the benefits have come from that. And yes, we've had a lot of breakthroughs on the treatment side. There's a lot of new medicines that really do a good job at preventing it from coming back. But boy, if you can stop it before it starts, that's the way to go.
Absolutely, and that's where you... the individual has to be responsible, recognizing the signs and getting in to see their doctor. Don't just wait for your annual physical.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
Breast exams are still good.
Yes, breast exams are still good. Now, you know what, honestly, the trial data out there has never shown that self-breast exams prolong survival. But my view is nobody knows your breasts better than you do, right? And breasts are lumpy and bumpy. Everybody's are. Nobody's are perfectly smooth. When masses pop up, it's important for you to know, oh, that's been there since I was, 15 years old and hasn't changed in 30 years. It's not a big deal. Whereas if you notice something that's changing, you're the one that's going to find it first. So it's low risk and it's high reward. And so even if it only saves 1 out of 10,000 women, if you're that 1 out of 10,000, it's important. And breast cancer is so common that there are a lot of people who get it. 1 out of 8 women will have the diagnosis at some point in their life. So that's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people, especially a lot of females. And,
yes.
And so we certainly are very fortunate that we have the oncologists that we have in our listening area, especially those there at Texas Oncology. And we appreciate, because we don't like having to drive into the big cities when we don't have to.
Right. Well, we are thrilled to provide the service for the community, and we really take joy in being out here.
All right. Well, Dr. Methamina, I know there's so much more we need to talk about, but as promised, I know you've got to go see those
That's right.
patients there, that you've been helping so wonderfully well as your colleagues. So give us the office phone number there in Bastrop and the services y'all provide right there in the office there in Bastrop.
Great. So Texas Oncology out here in Bastrop, our phone number is 512-308-9024. That gets you out to the front desk. We have medical oncology full-time. We have a breast surgeon that comes out here. We do not do radiation out here, but we have it in Austin and can get people plugged in should they need. We have a full-time nurse practitioner. We do chemotherapy, immunotherapy, hormone therapy. Pretty much everything you need can be done right here in Bastrop. The only things people have to travel for are the radiation and the surgery.
Awesome. So you can go get taken care of in Austin and then finish your rehab there in the Bastrop.
That's right.
That is awesome. Thank you so very much. Once again, that is Dr. Matthew Minahan, oncologist with Texas Oncology. Thank you so much for joining me here, and remember to get your mammograms, right?
That's right. My pleasure being here. Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. And I'd like to thank my sponsors for allowing the doctor's point of view on your hometown radio, 98.3.